The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We know that the New York Mets, not that they're getting in our good graces, they've been an absolute disgrace this year. They've been a putrid, pathetic, anemic baseball team, but they were in Philadelphia, which was the site of the All-Star Game festivities this year. And the New York Mets opened up the second half of the season with the victory. You got Francisco Alvarez with two home runs. Brett Beatty also went deep. Christian Scott gave you six-plus innings. And the New York Mets do get the victory up against the Philadelphia Phillies. But before the game, you had a little article from Chelsea James, who does cover the team for SNY and covers Major League Baseball. And Chelsea did have the article where it did headline saying it that the Mets have informed teams they're open for business ahead of the trade deadline and deals could come sooner than later. So you say, okay, who isn't on the table? And a rival executive said that the Mets informed their team that the sale is on and that everyone but young stars Carson Benj, A.J. Ewing, Christian Scott, Nolan McClain, and the obvious Juan Soto are available. So you go through this article and you go, okay, if they lose Brooks Raley, whatever, A.J. Minter, whatever. Freddie Peralta, I know that the Mets at the time, they gave up Jet Williams and they also gave up Sproat as well. And people were like, oh, like, was that worth it for Freddie Peralta? But Peralta did have a big season. He's been, for the most part, underwhelming here and not a guy that I really have a strong appetite with this contract coming up at the end of the season to go give him a lucrative extension. So if you get some prospects back for Freddie Peralta, I'm okay. Clay Holmes, I would like to bring him back. I know that with him being a reliever and then turned into a starter, his arm is not as seasoned as you would expect at the age of 33. We're usually in the David Stearns philosophy. You would like to move on, you know, and get rid of a pitcher that is 33. But when I look at a guy like Clay Holmes, I would be okay if you could get pieces back. And I'm not the biggest prospect guy. I understand you got to get prospects. But as a Met fan, when I heard of when I was a kid at spring training and I remember going to Port St. Lucie and I remember Eddie C., the great Ed Coleman, telling me as a young kid, oh, watch out for this Fernando Martinez. And whatever happened to that F-Mart? He never did anything here. Or, oh, Lastings Millage, he's going to be great. Whatever happened to a Lastings Millage never really amounted to nothing. Sure, there are prospects that come through the system. You've seen it in previous years. You've seen it this year that end up becoming household names. But if you're telling me the Mets could get a few prospects back for Clay Holmes, all right, ship him out of town. Sayonara, because this team is obviously not competitive this year. And quite frankly, we don't even know if we're going to have a baseball season next year, or we may have a condensed baseball season. And also, I can't bank on the Mets being all that competitive. Like, you look at the last 2 years, and I understand that they were good through the first 50 games last year, but after that, they were one of the worst teams in baseball. And this year, what was the highlight of the season? I think the highlight of the season may have been opening day. I was there up against the Pirates. They go down early, and then Paul Skenes doesn't get through the first inning. Outside of that, I can't give you really anything to look at this season with the New York Mets and give you something positive. So they're going to have a new manager coming in. We know that Mendoza's gone. And I'm going to assume that David Stearns is back next year, even though I don't think he should. But am I telling you this team's going to go to from the outhouse to the penthouse next year? I'd be a fool to believe that. So when you go through these names on the list and you see Freddie Peralta, okay, get something back. You see Clay Holmes, okay, get something back. Luke Weaver, that's probably going to give you, if you don't trade Lindor, and we'll get to Lindor in a second, that's probably going to be the player that brings in the best return, because he's a reliever. Like, you remember last year when the Mets traded for Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rogers at the deadline, a lot of fans were upset with what they had to give up to go get one of those two relievers, to get both of them in. So if you're telling me that Luke Weaver, who's very good in a controllable contract, if he could get you two or three prospects and they're highly rated prospects, okay. You could find another Luke Weaver somewhere else, and this is a good time to get rid of him. Barzabon, when he first came to the team, I used to call him Barzabum, but he's turned out to be pretty solid. You get rid of him as well. If you're telling me they're going to lose Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty and Ronnie Mauricio, I'm not losing sleep over any of those three guys. And like, that's the point with prospects too. Like, you got to accumulate all these prospects and it's a game of chances. And I know Alvarez had a good night, but you know, he's been injured so much. Brett Beatty, we've been told, was supposed to be great. It's been a tumultuous ride with him. And Ronnie Mauricio, we just haven't seen enough of him. But the big bombshell from this article from Chelsea is the last paragraph of it. And it's kind of funny to me because when you go to Journalism 101, you're supposed to put the best part of the story in the beginning. So sure, I need to know that the Mets are open for business. And they tell you early on in the article, within the first paragraph or two, that Carson Benj and A.J. Ewing and Christian Scott and Nolan McClain and Juan Soto, they're not available. But the last blurb, the last paragraph of this article is actually the most important. It says, and as for Francisco Lindor, no one has given any indication the Mets are shopping him, though no one has said he is off the table either. He's an MVP caliber player making MVP candidate, money for the next five seasons. Any team wanting to make a deal will likely need to not only be able to pay him that money, but also give the Mets a return that includes a viable 2027 big league talent. Few teams see willing and able to meet those asks, but with a noticeably weak free agent market for hitters looming, it feels unwise to rule anything out. So I'll ask this simple question, and you could jump on in 888-808-1019. Should the Mets trade Francisco Lindor? I'm not going to sit here right now and tell you they need to trade Lindor. I'm also not going to sit here right now and tell you I want them to trade Francisco Lindor. But if we get a breaking news alert in 2 weeks from now that the New York Mets traded Francisco Lindor, my reaction's not going to be disappointment. My reaction's not going to be anger. I wouldn't be irate about it. Now, Francisco Lindor got here, and we've all remember the postseason run from a few years ago where, quite frankly, he looked like he was the MVP in baseball. And last year, clearly, the speculation that we all thought, was it fair, was it unfair that him and Juan Soto weren't on the same page, that was confirmed a few weeks ago, earlier in the month, when Steve Cohen, the owner of this baseball team, went on with Joel Sherman and John Heyman, and he basically said that, I don't see them going anywhere. We're talking about the possibility of getting rid of one of Juan Soto or Francisco Lindor. He thought the lack of relationship and the lack of synergy between the two was a last year's story. They're getting along a lot better this year. He said something along that, I'm paraphrasing. But, like, I understand you could have differences and you could reconcile and you could put those differences in the past, and the owner is putting on the front that these differences are in the past. But just because Steve Cohen said it doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. And I'm going to be clear here. I genuinely do not know what their relationship is. But could they have got off on the wrong foot, Lindor and Soto, and that's been restored? Yes.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Could they also got off on the wrong foot? Can the owner say, hey, that was a last year's story, it's not a this year's story? And let's be real, you got Lindor and you got Soto here, and maybe one is just annoyed with the other. They're both annoyed at one another. And those feelings from last year, even if it looks like they're getting to a smooth sailing space, whenever there's a moment of adversity or a moment of contentious, in a relationship contention, that maybe those feelings pop back up from where they were a year ago. And I kind of look at Lindor and Soto, even though the Mets are no good in their garbage this year, but I look at it when LeBron James went to the Miami Heat, where LeBron James, when he went to the Miami Heat, that was Dwayne Wade's team for all those years, just like how it was Francisco Lindor's team for the last few years. But when LeBron got there, it became LeBron's team. Even though, right, it's Wade County, as they say in Miami, and Dwayne Wade already won a championship there, the better player was LeBron James over Dwayne Wade. And as much as I've enjoyed so far the tenure of Francisco Lindor, the better player between Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor is Juan Soto, and Juan Soto makes a lot more money than Francisco Lindor, and that's just going to be something where when you're Lindor, you were the man here for all these years, and now you're going to be second fiddle with Juan Soto being the main guy on this team. But I get back to this article, and the question becomes, should the Mets trade Francisco Lindor? I'm not sitting here, and I'm not saying the Mets need to trade Lindor. I'm not advocating for them to trade Lindor. All I want them to do is basically what the article says they're going to do, is listen. All you got to do is listen. Because Lindor even had a bad throw tonight where it looked like it wasn't going to go his way. Then the Mets got out of the inning. We know that he had a fielding problem right before the All-Star break. He's been injured all throughout the year, and he's 32 years old. He's about to turn 33. And can he go on and continue out this contract and get back to the elite level of Francisco Lindor? Absolutely. But when you're 32, 33, and you've had for the last 6 to 8 years, for the most part, really damn good seasons where you're not only one of the best shortstops in the sport, but you're one of the better players, period, in the sport, I don't know how much longer you're going to be at that level. My preference isn't to trade him. It's not. Like, in an ideal world, Lindor's back next year. We have baseball next year. They bring in a new manager, whether it's Alex Cora, Albert Pujols, Carlos Beltran, whoever it is. And that new manager infuses some new life into this team. And you get Soto and you get Lindor. They're on the same page. They bring in some more talent. They get a starting pitcher. Maybe they get a Tarik Skubal in the offseason. Maybe you go get another bat to replace the production of Pete Alonso, who should still be on this baseball team. And the Mets then go, maybe not even win the division, but they find a way to go get one of those three wild card spots next year. Like, that would be wonderful. And even though that would be my preference, it doesn't mean that it needs to find a way to paralyze the rest of the body in terms of thinking that Lindor needs to be on this team next year. I think we could all say we want Lindor on this team next year. It would be nice to have him on this team this year. But if a team calls up, because you got to look at this, the state of the AL is wide open. It is wide open. Like, look at the Boston Red Sox. I do some shows also on WEEI inside the Odyssey family. And the first 2-3 months of the season, the Boston Red Sox were one of the biggest jokes, not only in the AL, but all of Major League Baseball. The Red Sox get hot for 2 weeks. They're right in it in the AL. Like, the AL is so bad that if you make a player like Francisco Lindor available, and all this article is saying is that Lindor's available. It makes it a long shot that he's going to get traded, but he's available. So all David Stearns needs to do is when a phone call comes in, ring, ring, it's, you know, the Red Sox, or ring, ring, it's, you know, whatever team is out there that is calling for Francisco Lindor, you just got to listen. And don't just make a move to make a move. Only make a move if you say, okay, this has a chance to drastically change our franchise. And if you believe that that's a move where the prospects are right, or maybe they give you another proven player that you think could be a big part of this core, then I'm okay with pulling the trigger. But you look at it, outside of trading Lindor, I don't think the return's going to be so great for Peralta. You could get a decent prospect back, I'm sure, for Clay Holmes. Probably the largest return and the best return would be for Luke Weaver. But I don't know how attractive the Mets' options are. And in a year where the buyers are going to be greater than the sellers, because I don't know how many sellers you're going to have, all the Mets need to do is just simply listen. That's all they need to do. They don't need to trade Lindor. But if a deal comes along to David Stearns, and that's another thing, we got to trust David Stearns to make the right decision, which I don't feel good about doing. But if Stearns looks at the lay of the land and he says, hey, that's a really damn good deal, and he goes to Steve Cohen, he says, what's your thoughts? And Steve says, I'll give you the green light. I'm okay if you want to do this. Then I could be okay with it. Like, I was listening to, I think it was the afternoon show today at Fanatics Fest, and I think Al Cintron was on with McMonagle, and like, Al's like, oh, I don't want to trade Lindor. And I get it, right? Like, Al loves Lindor just like how I love Lindor. Al and I were together at the Grand Slam up against the Phillies. It was a great moment. As her old boss, Spike Eskin, was there with all of his friends from Sports Radio 94 WIP. And they were absolutely miserable that night. And it was a great night to be a Mets fan. So, like, I get that the Mets fan preference should be wanting to keep Francisco Lindor. But there's no harm in listening. And if a team blows you away with an offer, and they make you this unbelievable offer because they feel like, okay, there's a deadline coming, or there's a lockout potentially looming, you got a team that could go make a run for it, got a team that go take advantage of a weak AL and go make the World Series. Maybe it's an NL team that's hungry, and maybe it's an NL team that's sitting there saying, oh, we got to go make a move to put us over the top, or at least get us closer to the same playing field as the Dodgers. You got to listen. You got to listen. You don't have to make the move, but you have to listen. And this article tells you that the Mets are listening. And I'm also curious to see how Lindor is going to handle this article. Because when this article comes out and it says a rival executive has been told that the Mets are open for business, and the only players that are untouchables are Carson Benj, AJ Ewing, Christian Scott, Nolan McClain, and Juan Soto. When you have a player like Lindor who doesn't have the best relationship with Soto, a little bit sensitive last year to Soto coming in and everyone saying he's the man after this was his team and he was the man for all those years in New York. And now all these names, you know, there's a handful and a little bit more that names that are untouchable, and Lindor is not one of those names. I'm curious to see how Lindor is going to handle that. So all the Mets need to do is simply listen on Lindor. They don't need to trade him, but if they listen and the right deal comes along, I'm okay at this stage of the Mets tenure with Francisco Lindor, with it coming to an end.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.